Before we pray, I would like to read from Psalms 149, verse 4 to 6. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, by looking up to you, our heart becomes still. Even it may otherwise be stormy inside of us, before you, everything becomes still. You speak one word, and it takes place. You commanded, and it stood fast. Lord, we are here today to speak with you, and even more, we are here because you want to speak with us. Do it, O God, as a father speaketh with his children, with whom he means well. Give us obedient hearts, a willing spirit. Take away all rebellion, everything what is not submitted to your will and to your word. This take away from us. May your spirit upon your word also now, and may it accomplish in us what we read and what we look at. Lord, let it be manifested that you alone are the true God and no one else. Let us not be put to shame, but straighten up those who are bowed down. Comfort the feeble-minded. Be with the sorrowful. Lord, you know every trouble, every trial, no matter of what kind. Use this service to say to each one what he needs. Straighten us up together and strengthen us in the faith in you. Settle us in your word. Bless also all who are on vacation, all who are on the way, O Lord. Be with them. We remember also them who have deviated from the way, Lord. And we ask you, intervene with your mighty right hand and give to the afflicted victory, as we read. Let it be manifested in the habitations of the just, so that songs of praise may be in our mouths, while in our hand is the two-edged sword. Make all this a reality, O God. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Deliver all who have been overcome by the enemy. We place this meeting very consciously under the coverage of your precious and holy blood. We ask you for the leading of your Spirit, and we ask that your word accomplishes for what you have sent it for. Thank you, O God, that we can come together unhindered. It's still the time of grace, O Lord. Bless us now and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe we still sing two or three choruses so that we on the inside are tuned in even better to the word of the Lord. Only believe. This we not only want to have sung, this we want to believe with all our hearts and with all our souls. Very often, everything speaks against it. But deep in our hearts, we believe that what God has said. We don't look on circumstances. If Job would have looked on circumstances, then it would have been him who would have said to his wife, "Listen, it doesn't make sense anymore to serve God." He didn't look on circumstances. He looked on the Lord. And because he did that, the day came and the hour in which God manifested himself. All these things were written down so that we, in all our trials, know what we have to do. And the Holy Scripture says, "Look at his end, which the Lord has prepared for him." It wasn't about the time in between and about that what the enemy destroyed and caused, but about the end. The end will be crowned. He that persevereth until the end, and to them we want to belong. I want friendship and brotherhood to prevail. and want to ask Brother Schmidt whether he at least has a word of greeting for us. He is only once in a year here in Zurich, and we are friends for many years, and brothers in the Lord in Krefeld. Do you want to greet all of us? And then we will go into the Word. I just have the question whether some are here who would like to be baptized. This we would like to know. A sister wants to do it as soon as possible. Should brothers and sisters be here who would like to be baptized, please let us know today, so that for the last Sunday in August we can then arrange a water baptism. Please, Brother Schmidt. Brother Frank doesn't leave me alone anywhere, so I have to stay at home and drive nowhere anymore. And yet, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be in your midst, to have fellowship with one another in the Lord, to hear His word, to give our Lord the praise and the honor. I would like to extend greetings which were given to me from Salzburg. All brothers and sisters are sending greetings. They knew that we would be here. And as I said, I'm happy to be here. And I rejoice in the Lord that we are not alone and you are not alone. But there are some who would like to serve the Lord. There are many who glorify His name and adore Him. May the God of peace give us all grace that we honor Him and serve Him. We know the time in which we live is very serious and short. May God give us wisdom and grace that we serve Him with all our heart and soul, giving Him alone the glory. May He help us. I would like to read some verses. And may God help us. May He give us what we have need of. The Apostle Paul has written it to Titus. Here in chapter 2, he writes and says in verse 11, Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." And then chapter 3, he says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." May the Lord give it to us, that we honor Him and praise Him. Amen. With God, all things are in simplicity, and it cannot be simple enough. Our brother Schmidt, I not only love him because he comes from the Far East, 4,000 kilometers behind Moscow. He was born, spending most of the time of his life there, but because he loves the Lord and His word. And the same we may say from one another. We love each other because God loved us. We bear one another. We pray for one another. And we stand in for one another. Therein, the true love of God is manifested. I was asked earlier how it is with Brother Fuhrer, and I heard that earthly seen, he is not well, and this saddens us very much. On the other hand, we know that God has never made a mistake yet. And I see there our beloved brother Langenegger, and I remember when he, as a death candidate, was lying in hospital, and God has touched him, God has healed him. Sometimes it is so that our time is running out. Should this be the case, then also there we must have an inner yes to it and not start to quarrel with God. God has never done a mistake. Important is that we are ready to meet the Lord, and that we can say, "Thy will be done in my life." It is something totally different that shocked me, and I on purpose didn't mention it yesterday in Salzburg because it concerns the surroundings. And I just say this to show how important it is that we in this time don't let anyone mislead us, but that we hold fast to God and His Word. It was a real precious sister, and every time, or mostly when I was in Salzburg, I stayed overnight there. It was a holiday flat. It was empty. And this old sister, she looked after me. She brought me milk from the farmer. She did everything what a man can do in hospitality. Then it happened that she got confused, and when I was the next to last time in Salzburg, she brought me the milk and she put it into the fridge and some other things which go with it, and she made a few remarks which struck me so much, and I knew they don't come from her. And I could just say, "Sister, don't have part in such things." And I don't say this superficial, but I'm really so sorry. I then, with the brother, the nephew, with Hans Bauer, we drove to a restaurant, we ate half a chicken, and when I returned, the fridge was completely empty. There was for me nothing left. Something has happened. I was not hungry. I had eaten. But in my heart, there was such a pain. And this sister has lost the orientation, the spiritual orientation. And it's just 3 weeks ago when she committed suicide. She jumped into the river Salach and before that, in an inner distress, she only cried out, "I have sinned against God and against Brother Frank. For me, there's no grace anymore, no forgiveness." She came in such a desperation, and no man was there to help her in the hour of temptation, to comfort her, to help her to come out of all this. You all know there are various teachings. One is therein that it is claimed the Lord Jesus comes in this year. July should be halftime. And this poor sister believed all this. And she said also suddenly, "I cannot stand it to experience how others are raptured and I'm left behind." And then she said, "I know I'm not ready, so I will be left behind, and this I cannot stand." So there came one to the other, and now she is in eternity. If I know God's word well enough, then these brothers before the Almighty on the day of judgment, they will be responsible for it, because they confused a soul and got her into desperation. One cannot be careful enough. Sometimes the people think, "Oh, I will just listen what is being said there." Eve thought the same way. "Let me listen what is being said there." It doesn't remain with hearing. Every word, every conversation is like a seed, and it springs up, and suddenly one loses the spiritual orientation, and the result is then disastrous. May God keep all who are His possession. Really keep them, that also in the hour of temptation don't get confused, but that they abide in the Word of God. What do you think, how it was in the days of the Lord? What kinds of things they said to Him, that He's Beelzebub and so forth? But people who experienced the grace of God, they knew on whom they believe. Also Brother Branham had to endure many things, and also them who believed in His ministry and who were blessed by God. Oh, what was he told? He is a fortune teller, a soothsayer, and. For all who participated in the services, they had no other choice but to bear the reproach. Both belongs to it. We would like it best to have only the one thing. But it's written in Hebrews, "Let us go outside of the camp and bear the reproach of Christ." Today, it's therein that we have the responsibility before God to proclaim all of the word in the way as it was written down and revealed. What do you think? If we would not have preached biblically about the Godhead, about water baptism, in fact, about all the things, oh, this hole would be much too small to get all the people in. But it's not about the multitudes. It is about the people of God. And Paul says in Galatians 1, if I wanted to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. One cannot serve and please God and men at the same time. I just mentioned this example or this event only for one reason, to say unto us to be alert, to be careful, to always abide in the Word, so that we can stand the ground in the hour of temptation. We will read two or three scriptures. I don't really feel like preaching. From Romans chapter 8, I would like to read verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Both belongs to it. Before the glory comes, and we can participate in it, some sorrow comes. The way of our Lord went via Gethsemane, via Golgotha, via reproach, via despisement, but the end we have to look at. Highly exalted above all, He sits on the right hand of the Majesty on high and waiteth until all the enemies are made His footstool. The leading of the Holy Spirit means to be led into the Word, to get spiritual illumination by divine revelation, understanding, and having part in what God is doing. Didn't we speak many times about it? Simeon was led by the Spirit. He came into the temple. Nobody knew what is going on there, only He. He took the child into His arms, our Lord, as a child, and said the words, Lord, Now you let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. Beloved, by the Spirit he received the revelation that before his death he will see the Messiah. When the hour came, the Spirit came again upon him and brought him there where the Word has become reality. The leading of the Spirit is always in connection with the fulfillment of the Word of God, with Bible prophecy. And this we have, I hope so, understood in these last days. Also then, it would be easier for us if we would leave Brother Branham completely out of it and not testify, as the Holy Scripture says it clearly, that the Lord will send a servant as Elijah then, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. But do we have a choice? No, we have no choice. We arrived at the end of the time of grace. The day of the Lord breaks forth soon. God fulfilled his word, sent his servant and prophet to bring us back to the original word. And we are not ashamed of it. At the end, it will be the other way around. Today, we are the sad ones, and the others feel sorry for us and think, oh, they are just so foolish. On that day, the foolish will be the wise, and the wise will be the fools. We want to belong to them who here on this earth are nothing, who are looked at as fanatics and what else, if we only reach the destination and be with the Lord. All who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not only who are anointed with the Spirit, not only who received the Spirit, but who step by step, from clarity to clarity, from truth to truth, from knowledge to knowledge, let themselves be led by the Spirit of truth into all the truth. There are two spirits at work, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Paul has said it as a man of God, as an apostle, with a prophetic farsightedness. In 2 Thessalonians, he said it clearly, because they did not believe the truth, God has sent them strong delusion. Beloved, please don't just think here on others, on the great churches and so forth. This will be valid until the end, up into the last divine movement. We can, of all that what God revealed, we cannot pick out what we want, but we have to receive everything, accepting it and to believe it and to put it into practice as it was revealed by God. Otherwise, it will somewhere lack. In Colossians, in chapter 1, we read from verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here, it is not about superficiality, not only to have become a believer, but about that the spiritual wisdom and understanding of God fills us mortals, but having been pardoned, being children of God, and thus are being placed into all the will of God. Paul, Peter, all the apostles had only one thing in their heart: to serve God so that the church can be served. Therefore, also the emphasis: we pray for you at all times that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everywhere the people speak of the will of God. Every evangelist, every movement, every preacher, every church, all are convinced of themselves to be in the will of God. The matter is not so easy. And as I say many times, there are many ways which lead to Rome, but there's only one way which leads out, and there's only one way which can lead us to God. There is only one who could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life." By following the Lord, there is in the deepest darkness the bright light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which shineth in His countenance. Here, we shall be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. For what did God send all the prophets? To reveal His will. For what was the ministry of Brother Branham in this generation? Of course, only for one reason: to make known the will of God so clear, anew, to show it to the church, and to put the word of God anew upon the lampstand. Are we grateful for it? Do we have recognized at all what God intends with it? Most certainly not to make a new direction. There are already too many directions. No. To line us up divinely and biblically, regardless from which direction we come, but that we then walk only in one direction, and this is the divine direction which was shown to us in His Word. It continues, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How deep are these thoughts? How precious these words which are expressed here? we shall walk worthy of the Lord. We have been called with a high and holy calling to follow the Lord, pardoned, to be a possession of God throughout all eternity, having received the seed of His word in us. And as Isaiah says it in one place, he who trembles when thinking on His word. How often the Holy Scripture is read as any other book, without people becoming aware of it, that God speaks with us. If only the same inspiration could rest on us as it rested on the apostles and prophets. When we read these precious scriptures, the Spirit quickens the word. We shall and will be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, up to the perfect will of God. And this Paul expresses in Romans in chapter 12, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the hour, this is the day which the Lord has made, to call out a people which is ready after the revelation of His perfect word to do His perfect will. People who have made themselves available for Him when He spoke, and they shall be available for Him when He starts to work. And this will then be no Babel. You all know, you probably heard it on that great church day in Munich a couple of weeks ago. There even one of the high-ranking Catholic bishops said, this was like the building of the Tower of Babel, nothing but a confusion of language. But God does not build a tower, God builds His church. And we don't try to build something on our own to come higher with it and higher, but we let ourselves be built up in the Spirit unto an habitation of God, and we want to be available for Him. But this can only take place within the limits of the Word of God. All who persevere until the end and who hearken to the Lord and believe what He revealed from His word to His people, they will experience His hour of His divine visitation, and they will see that His perfect will, as it was revealed, will also happen in reality. Because I don't just say it here like this, but it lines up with everything what God has ever said and what He did. I challenge the whole world to put the finger on one thing where God would have promised something which He didn't fulfill and has done. With God, the words and the deeds always agree. We can rely on it. Should it now be different? Never ever. We only have need of patience, that the hour of God can come and that we persevered. If all things would happen so quickly as we expected, where would then be our test of faith? How about our patience then? God knows precisely what He does. He gives the promises, then He lets time pass. And as Brother Branham writes the prophecy which came through the prophet Isaiah, he mentions it so often. 810 years passed before the Virgin conceived and the Messiah was born. But God watches over His word to fulfill it. There does not exist one word of God which could remain unfulfilled. He already said there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. He said, wolf and lamb will feed together, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Everything, in fact, all things what God said, we can rely on it. It will take place. And when He says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be changed, and together we will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Then with God, this is already a fait accompli. Nobody can prevent that. All of hell must accept and obey before the Almighty God. There are probably two powers, but there's only one omnipotence. Only one who is Almighty. Not two. This you can believe me. Only one. And this is the Creator of the heaven and of the earth. This is our God, who has revealed Himself unto us personally in Jesus Christ our Lord. He stands to His word, and He stands to His people who has believed His word. And to them I want, and I hope all of us in this generation want to belong, not wanting to do anything of our own, but at all costs to have part in what God is doing. I want to experience the completion of the work of God, the crowning, the finishing, the complete restoration and manifestation of the sons of God. But not alone, but all of us together, who we serve the Lord despite of all tribulation. And if I shall say it here, despite of all the incomprehensible character assassination which ever existed since the world began. But the enemy knows exactly whom he has to take as a target. And if he succeeds to destroy the credibility of a divine commission and of a ministry, to question it, then he can do with the people what he likes until they finally make an end to their life. May God protect us from it. Believe me, when I at that time saw Brother Branham and many other evangelists, when I heard them, it was of course not my decision to judge who is what and who is who. But one thing was in my heart. I did the same like those in Berea. I searched in the scripture whether the things are so. And some things almost knocked me over, but I kept my mouth shut. I continued to search the scriptures, and behold, it went from clarity to clarity, and from one spiritual understanding to the other. And for this, I'm grateful to God. Suddenly, I recognized, without effort, that many use the name of the Lord for their own business and build their own kingdom within the kingdom of God because they didn't have a original divine commission. With this, we don't condemn anyone. We simply find out with a sad heart that many people bypass what God is doing today. And do you know where they end up? This you know very well. Every church which from the Roman leaven has taken over doctrines and lets herself not completely be cleaned will one day be penetrated by this leaven and everything goes back again to Rome. Whether you believe it or not, I rested a few days and there came a Mr. Schmidt to me and he complained to me about some things of his church in which he is a representative and so forth. And he says, you know, Mr. Frank, I could not understand many things, but that now in our Protestant churches, the priests wear a white robe as it is done in the Roman church. This I cannot comprehend. And he told me they put on the robe wherever it's needed, the black one at the funerals and the white at the altar, just to assimilate. Oh, if we understood the divine message for this time, then we notice, of course, where things are heading to. And I believe the word which went forth from Jerusalem, and not the word which went forth from Rome. Believe me, and even I would be burned at the city of Constance at the stake, this would be my last words, because that's what it's all about. It is about the truth, and the truth you don't have and I don't have it. It's God's word, and it was entrusted to us as a precious gift. But everything else is really confiscated. The people are like hypnotized by a serpent, and they follow after it and cannot deliver themselves. And nevertheless, God has sent a last message, a last call, so that all get the opportunity to be led out. Whoever does not come out will be swallowed up, because he doesn't know the difference. Perhaps some are new in our midst, and it could sound arrogant when people are so certain, but please, not self-reliant. This we want to distinguish. I, Brother Frank, am not certain, but God's word is to me, Brother Frank, more than certain. On God's word I can rely on, and this we can all do. Here it is really not about a man, but about God, who wanted to bring his people back. And as certain as we live in the last generation, he will lead them back. the battle will get harder. The slanders will become worse. But it will get also more glorious. Don't you worry. You all know. When Jacob ran away from Esau, this was not a nice thing. And when he then came back, he delegated everything in batches. He wanted to go as the last one. He remained on the other side of the little river. He wrestled with God. And behold, a new day broke forth for him. Beloved, as humans, we are not so brave as we look like. We don't have so much power as it sometimes seems. But by faith in the Almighty God, we not only have the word, but also the power which is in the word of God and will be manifested through all them who have believed his word with all their heart. This word I want to emphasize once more quickly, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, not in your and my knowledge, not as you and I as we see it, but from God's point of view, in the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is given to us through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, that ye might be filled, so that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Also, this goes with it. Men of God walked with the Lord. And the best example and antitype was Enoch. He walked with God, and suddenly he was no more found on earth. Also, we, each one, there where we are, want to live a life with God, walking with him until we come from believing unto seeing, firmly grounded in his word, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed, sanctified, prepared for the coming of the Lord. Such people God wants to make out of us, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We are determined, as our Lord said it in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, that ye go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. On you and on me, God wants to see divine fruits, namely the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which you and I cannot bring forth, but which can be manifested from the divine life which we received by his grace. The Lord is the vine, and we are the branches. Then it continues, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Light and darkness, truth and lie cannot coexist at the same time. If we have been saved, if we had an experience with God and are following Jesus Christ, then the word must become true, which we quoted already at the beginning of our Lord. He said, "He who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life." Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. It shall be light at evening time. The day of grace comes to its end. Light was given by God. Revelation of His word and of His will He has given unto His people. May He now give us obedient and believing hearts, so that He could fulfill His revealed word on us and on all, wherever they might be, those who believe the Lord in this time. He enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. All that, what God reveals, this comes to the surface. It is struck by the light of God. Our Lord says, "What I tell you in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." What God does not happen in secret, in some kind of corner, but was always available to them whom God pardoned. And that's how it will be until the end. All who are ordained to experience the completion, they will believe until the end. They will keep pace. They will become more obedient until we totally line up with God and His word. God in Christ, Christ in the church. And thus comes the completion and the realization of the mystery of God with Christ and the church. And we, by His grace, in this last time, we may have part in it. Right at the end, also in our mouths, will be the praises of God, because the two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, was kept in our hand of faith, and because we believed with all our hearts what God said. Oh, blessed is she that believed, be it unto thee as you believed. That's how it will be with us, by the grace of our God. May He bless us all and be with us. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe we sing the chorus, "Just as I am."
Denn rein, o Gott, es
Let us sing it once again with all our hearts. Let us bow our heads, closing our eyes, opening our hearts. And if God has spoken to us and He calls you, don't turn it away. For thus it is written, today, not tomorrow, not another time, today, now. Now, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Open yourself before God. All who harden their heart will not reach the destination. Dear soul, you don't need to understand everything at once. Accept the first things by faith, namely Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, who on the cross of Calvary died and bleeded for you. Receive Him as your Savior and say in your heart, bring it over your lips, Savior, I believe you. You are my Savior. You redeemed me. You paid the price on the cross of Calvary. You shed your holy divine blood. Forgive me. Be merciful to me. Accept me. And you will see the Lord will come nigh to you. Make use of this opportunity now, as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. I would like to ask whether someone has the courage to raise his hand so that we can pray for you, wherever you are. God sees the hands. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. O Lord, with how much wistfulness are our hearts filled. On one hand, it's a terrible time, a total confusion. On the other hand, a wonderful time, the time of calling out, of correction. O Lord, we pray for all who raised their hands, for all who want to dedicate their lives to you. Dear Lord, receive them. Forgive all sin. Blot it out. You forgive trespasses and don't remember sin anymore. Praise be to your name for the work of redemption of Calvary. Lord, you did not die in vain. You will see your seed and we will be with you. As the reward of your pain. Dear Lord, receive those who raised their hands. Receive us all who we lift up our hearts to you. Bless in all of Switzerland, in Austria, Western Germany, bless all over Europe. Lord, we can hardly stand it for longing that you manifest yourself and that you visit your people visibly, audibly, feelable, experienceable. Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And we were risen with you unto a new life. Faithful Lord, bless us all from the riches of your grace. We will believe you and follow you in obedience until we enter the pearly gates. You have done so great and wonderful things in us. We again remember all them who have fallen prey to other spirits. Lord, how many are in error and have lost the orientation because they left your word. O Lord, may you present unto us the importance of your word, and may you show us the limits so that we keep your word and do not trespass against it. Lord, make people out of us who walk in your ways and do your will. Enable us as we read it, and fill us with all spiritual wisdom and understanding and knowledge up to the perfect will of God, and fill us with all the fullness of God. To you be the thanks, O Lord, that we may live in this time, that your word of prophecy shines as a bright light in a dark place. The Bible has become new to us, precious. Lord, I glorify your name, for you are faithful and wonderful. How shall we thank you with these lips which are not worthy to pronounce your name? You have done so great and wonderful things on us. Lord, let me see it at the end with my own eyes, that the last message has brought forth fruit, and that people are led to you, whom you can translate, taking them up. Lord, I thank you that I have seen it on the 1st of January 1981. I praise your name. You will have a multitude dressed in white, without spot and without wrinkle. Lord, all sorrow, every battle, every sickness, yes, even death will be over. We remember now Brother Fuhrer. Be nigh to him, Lord. May your will be done in him and through him. Strengthen him in faith, O Lord, and all the loved ones who are around him. Faithful Lord, give at all times the right instructions, the right answer from the scripture, which comforts us also in such hours. We thank you with all our hearts for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.